Harry shifted slightly, easing himself away from Draco's sleeping form so that he could look at the blonde's face. He'd been awake for a while, but Draco seemed soundly asleep, and Harry was taking advantage of the opportunity to look his fill. He'd been replaying the events of the evening in his mind, lingering over them, cementing them firmly into his memory. He was trying to decide whether he should chance staying until Draco woke, or whether he should leave before then. Harry's brow creased in a slight frown. Draco seemed happy enough to have Harry curled up in bed next to him after they'd cleaned up. He'd even pulled Harry into his arms and slung one arm possessively around him. Harry warmed at the memory. It had felt wonderful, natural, and he'd indulged in the fantasy of pretending that Draco's bed was his rightful place to spend the night. It had been a sweet fantasy, and Harry remembered it with a wistful sigh. He'd better leave now, though, he thought reluctantly. If Draco woke and was irritated that he was still there, or worse, was cool and dismissive, Harry didn't think he could bear it. He sat up quietly and slung his legs over the side of the bed, reaching for the pile of clothing on the floor. He just located his trousers when Draco's voice sounded, the polish and careful distance once again firmly in place. Leaving. And not even going to say goodbye. Somehow I thought you had better manners, Harry. Harry whirled to face Draco. He hadn't moved, but his eyes were wide open and watchful, unreadable. Harry felt a slow flush creep up his face. Sorry, I didn't know what you... I just thought that maybe I should go. His voice trailed off. Draco continued to watch him, his face closed, his eyes guarded. When he finally spoke, the words were careful even. If you want to, Harry. Harry paused, uncertain. He didn't want to, not at all. He just assumed that Draco would want him to leave. But now Draco seemed to be giving him a choice. Like earlier, he remembered suddenly, when Draco had told him he didn't have to stay at the table with him and talk. And Hermione had seemed to think that Draco had been trying to get Harry's attention. Finally, he said softly, I don't. He was rewarded with the same soft glow in those gray eyes that he'd seen before, and the voice that responded was the one Harry liked, the warm, intimate one. Then come back to bed. When Harry woke again, hours later, it was to the insistent persuasion of Draco's mouth and hands moving over him. He rolled over to face Draco, his body automatically responding. The combination of sleepiness and slow, lazy arousal infinitely pleasurable. He stretched luxuriously, arms high overhead, and Draco took advantage of the exposed expanse of golden skin to run his hands over it, stopping to pluck at the dark nipples. Harry groaned, the sharp spikes of pleasure running through him. Sleep well. Draco murmured. Draco's murmur was muffled, his lips moving steadily down Harry's taut stomach, his fingers pushing the covers out of the way. Yes. Harry's affirmation was breathless. The sleepiness was being chased away by a sharply increasing arousal, and when Draco looked up from his task of mapping the area just below Harry's navel with his tongue to favor him with a devastating smile, he felt his heart skip a beat. Excellent. Then you're all rested. That's good to know. He lowered his head again, taking Harry's rapidly hardening cock into his mouth and sucking rhythmically on it. He pulled off, the fingers of one hand moving to dance lightly over the length. All awake now? The gray eyes glinted wickedly. Oh yes, Harry managed. Good. Let's shower, shall we? And pulling Harry from the bed, he led him by the hand to the adjoining bath. The water was hot and steamy and felt wonderful cascading down Harry's body. Even better was the feeling of Draco's hands, slick with shower gel moving over him, massaging and teasing until Harry was nearly mad with need. He was doing his best to put Draco into a similar state, But Draco had stepped into the shower to stand behind Harry, and had been holding him firmly in place there. His clever fingers and seeking mouth had been busy, rendering Harry nearly helpless. Harry was leaning back against the blonde, his head falling back to rest on the broad shoulder behind him. Draco held him easily, one hand anchored firmly around Harry's midsection, the other wandering almost lazily between Harry's, by now hypersensitive, nipples and his throbbing erection. It wasn't until he spoke that Harry realized through the haze of need surrounding him that Draco was also very close to the edge.
Harry.
Draco's voice was husky, the strain of holding back evident.
Harry, lean forward and put your hands on the wall.
Harry obeyed in a daze, shifting his weight forward with Draco's gentle guidance, bending slightly at the waist and putting his hands out to brace himself. He felt Draco's gel-slick, seeking fingers slide down his back, down his cleft, and then to his opening. He pushed back hard on the probing fingers, and he heard Draco moan softly. The fingers disappeared, but were replaced immediately by Draco's hard cock, and he felt hands grip his hips firmly as the delicious length pushed slowly, slowly into him. When Draco was fully seated inside Harry, he stayed there, not moving, for so long that Harry was nearly ready to scream with frustration. At long last, Draco began to move, and Harry nearly wept with the sweetness of it. The pace was agonizingly slow, almost hypnotically so. Harry's entire world was focused on the hot, hard length, moving in and out with such excruciating care. Draco was leaning over Harry's back, planting kisses along his shoulders and biting, at first gently, then less so, and one hand slid along to toy with a nipple. When the second hand mirrored the action, what was left of Harry's mind quietly fell apart. The kisses and the bites along his back, and the gentle pinches and tugs on his nipples were all underscored by the slow, honeyed rhythm of Draco moving in and out of him, and the shimmering wave of pleasure in Harry rose to just below the breaking point. His breath, which had been coming in strangled gasps, stopped, and he felt himself hovering, hanging on the brink of shattering release for so long he thought he might die from it. He could feel Draco trembling, and with a low, feral growl, Draco changed the pace, his hands dropping to grip Harry's hips, the new rhythm hard and fast, fueled by Draco's own undeniable need. Then Draco pushed into him one last time, and even as Harry felt the pulses of Draco's release, deep within his own body, his cock was grasped in Draco's fist, and stroked in time with the burst of Draco's completion. Just as those finally ebbed, Harry's own orgasm tore through him, the intensity of it nearly bringing him to his knees. Spent, trembling, sated beyond any ability to speak coherently, Harry allowed himself to be pulled from the shower, toweled off, and led back to bed. Harry pulled his shirt on and buttoned it up. It was evening now. The day had passed in a glorious tumble of sex, catnaps, more sex, two decadent meals, and another shower. There had also been a lot of surprisingly easy conversation, interspersed with periods of comfortable silence. When Harry finally told Draco that he had to leave because he had a previous engagement to meet up with someone from work to go over some reports, Draco had given him a small smile and said he supposed he would let Harry keep the appointment. He hadn't said anything else, though, and disappointment welled up inside Harry as he dressed. He was just on the point of leaving when the blonde said casually,
"Have dinner with me tomorrow night."
Harry turned back, hope flaring inside and delight lighting his face.
"I'd love to. Where do you want to meet?"
Draco considered him thoughtfully for a minute, and then smiled enigmatically.
"Could you find your way back here, do you think?"
"I imagine it'll save time in the long run if we start here."
Comprehension flooded through Harry, and he felt himself blush.
"That sounds just fine."
You need to cross the road.
The next weeks passed with Harry in a delirious haze. Work was busy and kept him occupied during the day, but every night was spent with Draco. And though Harry was waiting with trepidation for indications that Draco was tiring of him, none appeared. In fact, Draco was everything Harry could ask for in a lover. Attentive, funny, thoughtful, and absolutely insatiable. If he also maintained a hint of his cool reserve, well, that was only to be expected, Harry reasoned. It was part of who Draco was, and that was that. He contented himself with the things Draco offered him, and tried to hide his strengthening attachment for fear of asking too much. After nearly a month, Hermione cornered Harry at work one day, demanding to know what was going on, but Harry just shrugged. He didn't want to talk about Draco to anyone. He wanted to hug their time together jealously to himself, to keep it private, entirely his, so when the inevitable end came, he could grieve in peace. The truth of the matter was that he was dangerously close to falling in love with Draco, and he knew without question that Hermione would see that immediately if he talked about Draco at all. So he put her off, reassuring her with vague platitudes that he knew didn't fool her for a minute, but which gave her no recourse to pursue the matter. Shifting the bag of groceries to his left arm, Harry pulled out his wand and unlocked the door to Draco's flat. Draco had given him the spell a few days ago, in the casual, almost indifferent way Draco gave lots of things to Harry. Harry had been thrilled, the same way he was thrilled about everything to do with Draco. And even though he kept telling himself that Draco had probably given plenty of previous lovers the spell to unlock his flat, it was easy enough to change it, after all. He was securely holding on to the hope that Draco might be interested in more than just a short-term fling with him. After all, even though they had only been together a month, he knew he had already lasted longer than any of Draco's previous relationships. Deep in thought with hopeful fantasies about the future, Harry walked into the kitchen only to stop short, his guard immediately up, a small frown creasing his brow. Standing at the far side of the room, leaning casually against the counter as though she had every right to be there, was Pansy Parkinson. "Goyle," he corrected himself silently. She was Pansy Goyle, now. She and Greg Goyle had gotten married about 6 months ago, he remembered. She seemed unsurprised to see him. It was almost as though she had been waiting for him. Her arms were crossed, her face closed and watchful. When she spoke, her voice was polite but cool. "Hello, Potter. Sorry to startle you, but I've been wanting a word with you, and Draco's been remarkably resistant to bringing you around to see us." Her eyes flickered to the bag Harry was holding. "Dinner? And you got the spell to unlock the flat. How cozy." Her arms swept out, indicating the cupboards and refrigerator. "By all means, continue on. I've no wish to interrupt your plans." Harry walked slowly over to the counter next to the sink and placed the bag down with exaggerated care. "What did you want to talk about?" Pansy lifted one hand to her mouth, tapping the index finger thoughtfully against her lips. "Well, it's not so much that I wanted to talk to you, per se, as it is that I wanted to see you. To see how you look. You know, when you talk about Draco." Harry stared back, confused. "When I talk about Draco, I've no intention of talking about Draco. Not to you." Realizing belatedly how rude that sounded, he hastily amended his words. "I mean, not to anyone." Pansy's eyebrows rose in surprise, and her hands moved to her hips. "Really? Not anyone. You're not at all interested in bragging that the boy who lived was the one to catch Draco Malfoy." Her voice was light, but her eyes remained watchful. Harry felt a flush start at the base of his neck and creep forward. Pansy had, with unerring accuracy, placed her finger on one of the very reasons Harry didn't talk to anyone about Draco. He abhorred gossip about his personal life. It was part of the reason he had limited public appearances after the war. But that didn't stop people from gossiping about him. He learned over the past weeks that Draco hated being gossiped about, too. And between his family name and fortune, the publicity that still ran high about his role against Voldemort during the war, and his high-profile social life, Draco was constantly cause for wild speculation.
Harry knew that if people knew they were together, and that they'd been together for weeks now, the inevitable resulting gossip would be a complete nightmare for the both of them. And he was painfully aware of the fact that he hadn't caught Draco at all. There had never been any talk between them of any kind of permanence. They just moved from day to day, staying firmly in the present. Harry pulled items haphazardly from the bag, loading the counter with cheese, fresh fruit, and a bottle of Pinot Grillon, Draco's favorite. "No, I'm not interested in that, and I haven't caught him. He's free to do whatever he wants, to see whoever he wants." The words were stilted, uncomfortable, and Harry was caught off guard at how deeply it hurt to say them aloud. Pansy walked closer and squinted at him thoughtfully, reaching absently for a handful of grapes. "You really mean that, don't you, Potter? I mean, you let Draco walk away from you in a second, if you thought he didn't want you anymore." Harry shrugged noncommittally, and misery flashed briefly over his face. But he masked it quickly. It was another one of Harry's constant worries. No one had ever held Draco's attention for very long, and he didn't expect to be the one to change that. But he had every intention of staying as long as Draco did want him, and of making the most of that time for the both of them. Pansy was still staring at him, her brow creased in a frown now, and the intensity of her gaze was starting to make Harry feel uncomfortable. She seemed to be debating something with herself, and finally she nodded a bit, as though making up her mind about something. "Listen, Potter, here's the thing. I've been worried as anything about Draco ever since you two started seeing each other. He's always brought the flavor of the week over to meet me and Greg, but he won't even talk about you, let alone bring you by. I've been thinking of all kinds of horrible things, you know, but now that I've seen you, well, it's pretty clear that you're really mad for him." Her grin was ruthful. "Should have known better, I suppose. Gryffindor through and through, you are." Harry stared, his curiosity about just exactly why she was so worried superseded by his surprise at how accurately she'd been able to read his feelings for Draco. "I never said I was mad for him. And why are you worried about Draco being with me? What did you think I was going to do to him? Get him alone somewhere and use an unforgivable on him?" To Harry's astonishment, she grinned. It was surprisingly friendly and open. "You didn't have to say it. I can see it. And lots of people think it's quite the status symbol to be seen with Draco. They use him, you know. It's partly why he doesn't stay with anyone. He is not interested in being an accessory. Of course, no one really has ever held his interest for very long either. Except you, of course." Harry shrugged, his uncertainties running full force. "Well, I wouldn't exactly call a month very long." Pansy laughed outright. "A month? Is that how long you think you've been holding Draco's attention, Potter?" She smiled again, clearly amused at some private joke. "Well, just about." Harry was defensive. "I mean, I know it's not been quite that." "You think he's been interested in you for a month?" Pansy was giggling helplessly now, and Harry's confusion was being joined by a niggling sense of dread that she knew something he didn't. He was just opening his mouth to ask her what she found so amusing when a cool voice cut across the room. "Why, Pansy, darling, I think Harry would have a reasonably good idea of how long he and I have been seeing each other, wouldn't you?" Harry turned, startled and distinctly uncomfortable with the knowledge that Draco had clearly been there for some time. Pansy, on the other hand, wasn't fazed in the slightest. "Hello, Draco dear. I just stopped by to say hi. To Harry." Harry's jaw dropped at the new familiarity, and Draco's eyes narrowed. "Well, you've said your hellos, so take yourself off home now. There's a good girl." His tone was dismissive, verging on annoyed, but Pansy seemed completely unconcerned, her face still split in a huge grin. "Yes, Draco, I'm leaving now, and by the way, I understand. And it's okay, you know. I'm actually very happy about it." Completely puzzled, Harry's eyes cut back from one to the other.
Even though we had no idea what was going on, they were obviously making sense to each other. To his enormous relief, Draco's annoyed expression softened, and a small grin appeared.
Well, I'll just sleep so much better knowing that I've made you happy, Pants. Now run along, and be sure and give Greg my condolences once again.
With one last unrepentant grin, Pansy turned to Harry.
See me out, Harry?
Draco's eyes narrowed again, but he didn't say anything as she led Harry out of the kitchen. Pansy didn't speak until she was nearly out the door, and then she paused and looked at him, her hands on her hips. She hesitated for a minute, completely serious now, and finally said,
He's never given anyone the unlocking spell before. Never.
And she was gone. Harry stood there for a moment, his mind a whirl of confusion. Earlier, he felt like Pansy knew something that boded ill for his relationship with Draco. Now she was telling him that Draco trusted him in a way he'd never done with anyone before. Determined to find out what was really going on, Harry strode back to the kitchen.
Draco, what was all that about?
Harry's voice was careful. He was incredibly nervous. He knew that whatever had just transpired between Draco and Pansy was directly connected to how he fit into Draco's life. And for a long moment, he didn't know whether Draco was going to answer him or not. Finally, Draco turned to him and gave an enigmatic smile.
Oh, Pansy just likes to remind me that she and I have known each other a very long time.
Harry nibbled on his bottom lip, uncertainty clear on his face. There was more to it, he was certain, and he wanted to know the truth. Drawing a deep breath, he asked bluntly,
Draco, are you getting tired of me?
Draco's eyes lifted immediately, surprise reflected in the gray depths.
Tired of you? Of course not. Whatever gave you that idea?
Harry shifted uncomfortably but held his ground, his voice firm.
Well, Pansy. You know, you heard her.
She seemed to think it was funny that I said you'd been interested in me for a month.
So I thought maybe she knew something that I didn't. Like that you weren't interested in me anymore. And that you just hadn't told me yet.
Draco looked thoughtfully at Harry for a minute, as though debating whether or not to answer, and finally he put down the wine he'd been holding. Reaching out, he pulled Harry into his arms and reached up to cup his lover's face with one hand. When he finally answered, his voice was deliberate.
Harry, what Pansy knows is that I've been interested in you for somewhat longer than a month. And she can be a bit protective. So I'm sure she wanted to reassure herself that you weren't just marking time and having your wicked way with me before tossing me carelessly to one side.
One brow rose quizzically.
You're not planning on doing that, are you, Harry?
Heart full, eyes shining, hope rising cautiously in him, Harry shook his head. Draco leaned forward and caught Harry's bottom lip between his teeth and nibbled it gently.
I didn't think so.
He kissed Harry full on the mouth, the caress insistent and increasingly passionate, and then pulled back and looked deeply into Harry's eyes.
And I'm not planning on doing that to you either, Harry.
Strong hands ran along his shoulders and pulled him firmly forward.
So, now that we've got that all straightened out, may I have you instead of dinner?